Well, I'll tell you that despite vacation being fun, we did really miss you guys last week. When you orient your life around a Sunday, it's weird when Sunday we were actually at the Science Museum in downtown Orlando. And I'll tell you, it was really hard to tell which day of the week it is after that. So we missed you, but we heard that it was a really wonderful week. And what we are doing now is for the next 4 weeks, we'll continue to be reflecting on Easter. So a lot of times we think Easter is just one day, but in the church, it's actually a whole season. And so for the next few weeks, we'll be talking about all of the stuff that happened as Jesus appeared to folks after the resurrection and what it means for us to live in light of the resurrection. What does it mean for us as people who say that we follow God to live in response to the resurrection happening? And so today, today's passages talk together about physical healing and emotional healing and spiritual healing. As we talk about the Acts passage, you'll see Peter's actually reflecting on a physical healing. But they didn't include that in the lectionary. I'm going to call them. Because we need to know the context of what's happening. And so today we're going to talk about what it means to live in light of the resurrection, believing that healing is possible. So starting with Luke chapter 24, we hear Jesus and we see Jesus appearing to the disciples. They're all gathered. They're probably still pretty terrified. And he gets together with them, and even though it's him, they've traveled with him, they've seen all the things that he has done, even though it's him, they're not sure. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't really blame them, because they've experienced a whole whirlwind from Thursday to Sunday. That's quite a lot of stuff to happen, right? And so he says to them, "Look at my hands. Look at my feet." Now, you'd think that he would be like, "Look at my face, y'all. You've been looking at me preaching for years now. Don't you know that this is me?" But did you notice in Luke chapter 24, we saw that they are recognizing Jesus by his scars. That's how they know that it's really him. So then we see that they eat together, like Jesus is always doing. He's always eating with people, right? And they share, as they share a meal, Jesus is teaching them, this is all the stuff that was going to happen. This is all the stuff that was talked about in the scriptures. And he says in verse 46, "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." He says to them, this is what was going to happen with the Messiah. He was going to die and rise again on the third day, and then repentance and forgiveness should be preached everywhere, beginning with Jerusalem. And then Jesus really seals it in. You are witnesses of these things. Did you notice this really cool shift? Jesus says, look at my hands, my scars. You know this is me. Now, go share the truth of healing that is possible through repentance and forgiveness, the healing and restoration that is made possible to all nations. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus had just reappeared to me and was healed and bodily resurrected, I would want to hang out for a little while. You know, keep it for me. I'd want to sit and eat with Jesus and talk about all the stories and all the things that he had seen and how it might affect me and my life and what this crazy journey is that we've been on. But Jesus doesn't leave that meal without saying, now, you know what to do. You don't stay here. We don't just sit around and share these stories with each other. My healing, the scars you can see, are about healing for all nations. So now that I've told you all this stuff, go. I think it's really interesting that what Jesus does is he says, beginning with Jerusalem, right? So he's like, right here with your people, all the people that you know, start here. And then go to all nations. It feels a little bit like Jesus is saying, start here and then just keep going until either your life runs out or all the people have heard it and seen it and lived it. We hear that echo of God's promise to Abraham. God says to Abraham in Genesis 12, through you all nations will be blessed. Through you all nations. So this is the way that God is bringing about all nations being blessed. Through this story that started with Abraham, right? He says, Jesus says to them, you are witnesses of these things. You've seen it. So now you've got to go and live it. In the Acts passage today, I told you that Peter's reflection is actually happening after a healing. Okay, so what happens in the Acts passage is that Peter and John are walking, and there's a guy that everybody knows is ill. And has been ill for a long time. And so the guy is healed. Peter and John heal the guy in Jesus' name. And then all of the people start to gather because they're like, oh my goodness, what is this that has just happened? And Peter gets them together. And I wish that there was like a sassy meter that we could read because I feel like Peter is extra sassy in this passage and we could miss it, you know? Peter gets them all together and he's like, this healing, let me tell you. He says, Jesus is the author of life. Jesus came and brought this healing, this hope, this restoration. Y'all killed him, but God used that for good. I tossed around the idea of having a sermon series called The Butts of Scripture. Because that's a huge but, right? So Peter is saying to them, you've seen this healing. You've seen this healing. But there is even more healing and hope and restoration that is possible, right? Peter is saying to them, this isn't just it. Healing is wholeness. Healing is also spiritual healing. It's also emotional healing. It's also ultimate restoration. This is not included in the passage, but right after it, and you can look in your Bibles if you want. There's in verse 19, Peter goes on to say, Jesus will return at the time of universal restoration. It's almost like Peter is saying, you see this one thing right here, but let me show you it's even bigger than this. It's beyond just physical healing. It's beyond just right now. It is this call to universal restoration. Do you see the way that in this Luke passage and in this Acts passage that Jesus gives us this image of starting right here where you are, and then it's spreading, right? It gets bigger and bigger. It's not just the healing right now and today. It's universal restoration that is coming. It's not just for Jerusalem and your close friends or the people in the upper room. It spreads, right? This healing. It's physical, it's emotional, it's spiritual, and it's the last word. I think there's a few things that these passages show us today. One, I really don't want us to miss, and that is that it is the scars on Jesus' hands that make him recognizable. Healing, then, is not going back to the way things were. It's not them saying, oh, well, the crucifixion, that didn't happen. We see that the healing that Jesus shows us is God making good out of what is not good. It's that echo of what Joseph says in Genesis, what you intended for ill, God used for good. Peter says some of the same things in Acts. What you intended for ill, God used for good. I don't want us to miss that because I think sometimes we live in a world where we think the best idea is for us to cover up our scars. I think sometimes we live in a world where we believe that showing people healing is pretending like everything is perfect. or showing people healing is saying, we don't need to talk about that hard stuff. But that is not the example that Jesus shows us today. Jesus shows his scars. And even in the truth of those scars, God could bring good. I want us to also hear that healing is the practice of God bringing about wholeness and goodness in many forms. You can hear in both of these passages that Jesus shows the disciples his physical scars, and that physical healing is what brings them to talk about healing and repentance and forgiveness. Jesus is saying, look at my hands, and then let's also talk about the spiritual and the emotional healing that is brought about by this. In the Acts passage, they see a physical healing, and then Peter says, oh, if you think this is it, let me tell you. There's also spiritual and emotional healing. There is universal restoration coming. We see that wholeness and goodness that God is bringing can require a leap of faith. Because just looking at Jesus' hands, it's really hard to believe that that is evidence of God's fullness and universal restoration when you can still see those scars. And I want us to also catch that maybe what God is calling us to could be sharing our own scars. Maybe we can follow Jesus' lead here. Eat with our friends. Show them our hands. Tell them where we have been. And then also tell them about the way that God is bringing about goodness and restoration. There's a friend who shared, we're in a cool group, we're in a bunch of different groups with pastors. And earlier this week, I was at one of the pastoral gatherings, and there was a pastor who was going through a whole lot, personally in their own life, and professionally, a lot of transitions happening in their church, a very difficult time. And what this person said, we were going around the room and saying, where do you see evidence of the resurrection? Where are you practicing resurrection? Where are you seeing physical and emotional and spiritual healing? And I thought the courage of this pastor was incredible because they said, right now, I need the church to show me resurrection. I need the body of Christ to show me and remind me that resurrection is possible. This practice of hearing all these other pastors talk about resurrection, that is helping my own sense of believing that resurrection, that new life, that healing is possible. Because right now, it just looks like lots of scars. I was encouraged because this pastor not only had the courage to say that, but other folks around had the courage to say, I have been there. Look at this. And I know that God can bring healing and restoration. So I think this scripture points out a couple of things for us. It tells us that sometimes healing is physical and visible and miraculous. Catch me afterward if you want to hear a story. I'll tell you, I have experienced a really cool, miraculous experience of healing. I think also that healing is repentance and forgiveness. Healing is the hope that comes from repentance and forgiveness. Healing is the remembrance that when God was in the flesh, he died too. But what evil intended for death, God used for good. Sometimes healing is sharing scars and testifying to what God can do. I'll tell you, I'm inspired by these stained glass windows. I've always been inspired by stained glass windows, but I will tell you the first time we visited this church and I came in here, I was like, oh my goodness, This is incredible, right? These are incredible. But I think what stained glass also shows us, and especially the super old ones that are from like the Middle Ages, is that there are these beautiful pieces of glass that without being put together would just look like pieces. I mean, I think that this puzzle piece section with the purple robe here is really beautiful, but if all we see is a piece of purple robe, it kind of limits the whole picture, right? What I think the stained glass shows us is that these pieces that would otherwise just be shattered pieces are put together and made into a beautiful picture. In some of the oldest versions of stained glass, the shattered pieces are much more rustic than this. And as they're put together, you got to put a little bit more grout in between them to hold them. You got to smooth some edges a little bit to really make the picture work. And in stained glass, what I think we can see is taking broken pieces and making something new. It was probably incredibly difficult for those pieces to be broken. And yet, something beautiful can still be made out of them. I wonder if stained glass can be a testament to us of the ways in which God uses pieces that would have otherwise just felt like broken pieces or individual panes, but instead put together, make a new picture of wholeness, of restoration. I have some wonderings for us today, church. I wonder what it might look like for us to share this kind of healing in a world very set on covering up scars and pretending like it's fine. What might it look like for us to share our own wounds and the ways that God is working to bring wholeness in our families, in our neighborhoods, and in downtown Sanford, right here? How could we do that amongst friends who live on the streets, who often just receive sneers, or they're ignored by folks around them? How might we share this story in our own neighborhood and going outward with folks who are experiencing incarceration, marked forever for their crimes? How could we do this in our world filled with refugees fleeing destruction and persecution, looking for healing? What might it look like here and bigger and wider and throughout the whole world? What does it mean, my friends, that God offered God's self, suffering his own death, but showing up again, showing his wounds, and reminding us that God is bringing ultimate restoration? I wonder, can we imagine that God meets us in our suffering with nail-scarred hands and feet and whispers, "This is not the end"? And can we do the same? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing our final hymn again,
number 364? And in lieu of her message, David, I'm going to make a slight adjustment. I'm not going to change completely, but we're going to sing 394, the chorus of Something Beautiful, Something Good. And then we're going into the chorus of Because He Lives on 364.
Thank you.
created you, has loved you, and has the final word in our lives. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.
Shame. I'm laying them down for the joy.